Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joyanne Haig, and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is Dennis Johnson. The number to call, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind today? A lot. However, I want to start off with a very common topic. It's on everybody's mind, and that would be COVID-19. But before I start about the virus in Barbados, I want to take a look at how it was handled, or it's being handled globally. Now, I sat here in this chair a couple months ago, and I said that you can't fight a pandemic, one country doing one thing, the airline industry doing something else. Otherwise, we'll be going around in circles. And now it's 2021, and it appears as if the situation is a little bit out of hand, not necessarily on the side of Barbados, but globally, where we're seeing the numbers going up and going up and going up. The deaths now stand at about 2 million, roughly. And of course, we have to mention those who have survived the virus so far, which I think is about 53, 54 million people so far. But globally, I think that the organizations like the United Nations, the G20, which consists of 19 countries, including the European Union, and central bank governors, as well as the International Air Transport Association, IATA, all of these agencies, I wonder when they're going to meet, and if they are, you know, they're meeting 2 million deaths later, because you can't have one set of rules on one airline, another set on another airline, one set of rules in one country, and another set in another country. And I believe that this is causing some major problems. And I am hopeful, the same way that the United Nations got together, signed an agreement regarding climate change and its commitment to lowering the world's carbon footprint regarding the use of, to use alternative energy, solar, et cetera. And we made that commitment because we were killing our planet slowly. One would have thought that people who were dying within a two-week period or less, it would have activated leaders around the world to sit down via Zoom and discuss the way forward in terms of how we can fight this as one village. And I'm hoping that as we speak, or as I speak, that that is something that is happening now. I understand that the airlines are trying to regulate certain things, but I believe that we should have acted a little bit faster. Okay, so let's bring it home now to Barbados and how we have managed this pandemic so far. I know a lot of you, you're angry at the government regarding the handling of the quarantine setup with tourists and how that was being monitored. I saw the videos. I saw the comments, and I think that the public has a right, yes, to ask the government questions, because that's why they're there. They need to be held accountable, and I don't see that the government has a problem with that. I also recognize that there are some individuals, for whatever reason, may be asking questions. I'm probably looking to at the government to fail at a time like this. And there are some people out there with an agenda, but for the most part, most of us are asking questions, and rightfully so. However, I want to spend a moment looking at what it is that we can do as Barbadians to lower the spread of COVID-19. Now, I know that everybody is of the opinion, I don't have all the facts, I'm basing it on what I've read, that there was a patient zero that caused all of this, all of the spread and the increase of numbers, and that may be true, or there may be more than one of the patient zeros. There may be three or four of them. I don't know. But if this is where we are now, and we know that the government has tweaked and made certain changes in order to protect the citizens, I'm not saying that everything that they have done, that it was correct, but there will be missteps. No one is perfect. This is a pandemic, the first of its kind the world has ever seen. But I sit here and I asked myself, when people were arguing about what the government did or did not do, I sat down and I said, you know what? There is no government in this world that can tell me that, or I should wait for, I should say, to tell me what to do if I have the information. So when we argue with them or we haul them up, and we should pull them up if we need to, we still got to bring it back to ourselves and see if we are contributing to this spike. And if we are, what can we do to slow it down? So for example, if it is, and people are talking about the bus crawl, and people are saying that the government blamed the bus crawl and all these different events, I'm saying that everybody has a responsibility. Therefore, I think we should all take the responsibility for what has occurred. Some areas more than others. I'm not telling you that every single person contributed to the spike. I'm saying those who did, accept that you might have exercised bad judgment. Government, I believe that if you knew or you recognize that you've misstepped, then you do the things to correct it. But when we're pulling one side and pointing fingers at the other side, that's not going to help the situation. However, I still believe we need to get to the bottom of certain things. So let's bring it now to the press conference and the things that I believe that we should get answers for. One question came up last night by a reporter, and I thought it was a very good question. And might I add, let me commend the reporters. Maybe the teachings of David Ellis has rubbed off on you, but I thought they did a pretty good job asking some really important questions last night. But one reporter said that persons who are in quarantine, we're not talking about people who traveled and only people on the bus crawl. There are so many people that went to the polyclinics, went to the Best Dos Santos lab, and they are waiting for results. Some of them a whole week, some of them more than a week, I'm not quite sure. But did anybody tell these individuals that they have to stay at home? Because I know for a fact that there are some individuals who got tested, they went home, they didn't get back the results, and they went back out again. What is happening with that? That is a major, major concern. And where are the bracelets? And if the bracelets are being used for tourists as well as locals, can consideration be given moving forward to make sure that every person who is tested, whether it be at polyclinic or privately tested, that before they leave the polyclinic, a bracelet will then go on that person's hand? And I believe that was a valid question and one that causes some major concern. And other things too, I wondered about when they talked about the PCR testing at the lab, and they said it was only, I believe, it sounded to me like if it was only one machine, and that the machine was being used for things like dengue and so on and so forth. My question then would be, should we not get additional machines? I don't know. I'm asking as a layman. I'm asking because other people asked. And is the Best Dos Santos lab the only lab in this country that can do testing? And that's another question too that I wanted to put out there. The other thing in closing would be the mandatory wearing of masks in public buildings. I heard on another radio station this morning, I don't think that some people believe that public buildings meant government buildings, and I believe that that needs to be clarified, because I'm not going to sit here and assume that everybody knows what you mean, because people obviously don't always know everything in terms of when you communicate, they ask you to break it down. And apart from that, when you say public buildings, you do have vendors on the streets, you have people at bus stops and so on and so forth, and you may want to then explain the mandatory wearing of masks in public spaces, and the word buildings, people are latching on to that, and then you may have a set of people walking through Bridgetown telling you, I'm not in the building, I'm free to walk around without a mask. So these are the things that we are questioning. But for the most part, I think that the government is trying. I think for the most part that the people in Barbados, that they've done as much as they could do. In the earlier part of the year when we were locked down, I believe that we, and I say we because all of us did it, at some point we dropped our guard. Even if it was just to say hello to a friend and you realize you didn't see them for a while, you saw them in the supermarket or by your car, you didn't put your mask up. And all of us at some point might have slipped up. So here we are now with the cases now rising on the front page, and we're now at 968 cases in total, but in isolation now, active cases, we have 553. What can we do? I'm not asking what the government can do now. What can we do to lower this? What can we do so that we can get back to normal? You wear your mask, you physical distance, and you use technology as much as you can until we can get through this. There's no government in the world that can fight a pandemic with just their rules, and then we don't follow them. Then everybody will fail. I am so concerned about this. Maybe not as scared as I was in the beginning when we first locked down, because you get more information. I too had a COVID test. Everybody at Starcom did. I had mine 2 days maybe after they went for theirs, and thank God mine came back negative. But needless to say, the weight, you kind of, in your head, you're kind of hoping for the best. You have a family. You're picking up the phone and you're calling everybody that you were in contact with. You're so scared about your daughter inside that you're wondering, okay, dear Lord, I hope I did not give her COVID. So if for nothing else, if you don't care about your neighbors, care about yourself, care about your family, and please wear a mask. Please do the right thing and let us lower these numbers so that we can get back to our lives. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Joyanne.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Glenn Murray.
Hi, Glenn, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good to hear you for the new year.
Oh, you know, I got so caught up with the COVID. I do apologize. Let me wish all of our listeners Happy New Year. It just felt like yesterday I was in the chair, but I recognize that I actually was in the chair on the 30th and not for the year. So Happy New Year to all Barbadians, and to you, Glenn, and to yours.
Same to you. I'm glad you're on this morning because, for several reasons, primarily because you are a professional communicator, and therefore you, even from your preamble this morning, you were exposing certain things that are the hallmark of communication and the hallmark of the activities of a professional communicator. But you will recall that in the early last year, April, May or so, I was among those who were always asking questions about not the science of the management of the COVID, because from the very beginning they said I'm prepared to follow the science, but most of all I trust the system in Barbados going on a long record of good public health and good management of outbreaks of diseases and whatnot. But for you would realize I was questioning the question of providing information, and I was calling for more regular, more expansive, more informative briefings. I was saying that it was not enough that you just get us some numbers, ball numbers, 20 tests there, 5 positive, 15 going, before a context, before any analysis, so you were not able to follow any developments, particularly when you were being bombarded with information from all over the world. I felt we were being shortchanged in that regard. I was calling for more, for graphs, and a diagram, so you can visually, the visual helps in the retention of information. So we were just getting numbers. You would have to cut all those pictures and what, like keep them from the paper, but we were just getting numbers that all person can listen to, but they can't visualize. And I even called for the involvement of an epidemiologist who can come and explain things just in detail from a scientific point of view, not from just information or from a brief. And I was among those who were being labeled as complainers and pickers. We were accused of making noise. I mean, to the point where you had the chief defender and explainer of the COVID for government, Statsman, was at the forefront of that charge. But anyhow, that is where it was. But what it was calling for really was, why the way you've come to, we have not only a COVID crisis. This is a crisis. We have a crisis within a crisis. And let me explain what I mean. We have a crisis of the same thing, communication. And I think I think the way the communication system has gone has contributed to the lowering of the guard, because people were talking about, they ain't hearing anything much. They're not hearing anything, so therefore they're not being constantly reminded about it. Remember what was happening when we had the gathering?
Yeah.
How often we're hearing about the gathering, and you were conscious of it, you wanted to be involved, you were looking out for all the events, etc. So we need everything. You would know as a communicator, everything needs, virtually everything, especially when dealing with people's emotions and feelings, trying to inform people, you need a communications plan. And I came to realize, especially now, what the crisis has been, that until now there's been not a communications plan. And I know you probably think, or some people may think, I think I'm a know-all. But I have been there, and I had an experience when I was in government where we had the introduction of VAT. And when we were dealing with VAT, there were some people in government, politically even, in cabinet, who were fearful of our going to implement it. When Prime Minister Alpha was ready to do it, they said, no, postpone, not yet, because wherever it's been introduced, it's caused confusion. The governments were changed. There were riots and demonstrations. And the Prime Minister Alpha set up a communications team, which I had the honor to chair, along with Mrs. Melvin Smith from CBC, the Chief Information Officer, Mark Hope. We have a broad-based team to manage the communication program plan of action for the introduction of that. And it worked very well. So much so that we were able to export some of the expertise to, I think, Belize and Bahamas or further countries, who were amazed at the ease with which we've got them by persuading the public. Because communication is not just providing information. It's about getting people on your side to convince them, to persuade them, to guide them, etc. Sometimes you have to chastise them, sometimes you have to encourage them. Whatever it is to get communication. And that is even more so the more critical the situation. Because it's not only communication, as you know, mm-hmm. but there's crisis communication,
which is a special issue.
There's some people, like some of the big celebrities that are getting into trouble, getting into problems, they hire a crisis communicator, not just a PR person or a mm-hmm. publicist, but a crisis communicator. And I think we did not have a thought out. In other words, when we were planning for COVID, to manage for it, communication should be an integral part of that planning, so that you communicate, you know what to communicate, the message you want to communicate, how you want to say it. Because, you know, especially in communication and in crisis communication, the language you use, the tone you use,
the face you use must be
credible, mm-hmm. must be respected, must be trusted. Not everyone who can speak well can communicate. Speaking is speaking.
But that's the thing. I think people think that because you memorize the Oxford Dictionary, you know every word, it makes you a good communicator. It's not about, it's about how you make people feel and then what that person wants to do after you've spoken. And if you can get people to do what you've asked them to do, then you would have succeeded somewhat. It's just not about, okay, put Glenn on to speak, because people can tune out. And when they tune out, they're going to do their own thing. And it really is about making sure that when you've done talk, this person says, well, you know what? She making sense. He making sense. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and do that. And that's where you have, you've done your job, I should say. But I think, though, now that they have a communications team, and it's only been 2 days, so we do have to give them a chance to see how it can turn around. I can tell you that the feedback from Barbadians, from what I've read, I think people pay attention to the wrong things. But again, when you have a background, for example, and like for Ambassador Thompson, instead of listening, I saw comments about what the background looked like. And I'm thinking, okay, Why are we paying attention to the background? But even that makes a difference, if you understand what I'm saying.
Because that is important.
Even that makes a difference.
There. Mm-hmm. Because there's something, as you know, in communication called cognitive dissonance, where if you create hostility or unease or disbelief or mistrust in a person's mind, mm-hmm. either by what you wear, the colors you wear, your tone of voice, mm-hmm. your mannerisms, they're less inclined to pay you an attention. You have less chance of persuading them to your point of view, which is mm-hmm. the whole point of communication. You have a message working towards a goal mm-hmm. and a particular activity.
But what are your thoughts then? Because we've got full board. What are your thoughts about the last night's briefing? Did you watch it? I should ask.
I'm sorry. I missed about the first 20 minutes of it, so I don't feel qualified to comment on that. I really would, because you know. But I think that we have to have clear, simple messaging, using clear, simple language, choosing your words to bring about a desired impact, mm-hmm. and that we have a regular, you haven't choose the Thursday salad. When we were calling for more, people were saying, no, you don't need all this too much information, you got to talk to Kobe. And as chickens have come home to reach that regard, communication has to be an integral, respected, trusted part. It cannot be an add-on, you just get around to it. It has to determine your program. It has to mm-hmm. communicate because the two are interrelated.
Well, we're going to have to think it right there, but let's see what happens over the next few days, weeks, and months as they've just started. And I think it's too close to call it at this time and to give them a chance to continue to get better, because that's what you're supposed to do. They're going to start off a bit rocky, and when they get comfortable, because I believe watching Minister Bostic and even Dr. Best, they were a little uncomfortable, and I don't think it's that they don't know. They just need to get back into their comfort zone, because Minister Bostic was 100% comfortable, in my opinion. But sometimes questions and things can be intimidating, and people can also be mentally tired. They're only human beings, so maybe they can have an off day or two, and then they can throw everybody off and they can get back on track, and that's acceptable, in my opinion. But we'll take the next caller. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have an issue I want to address, and I hope I'll be given the opportunity to do so. One, what have ever become of the children who used to attend the Amapara school that was closed down? Have they been placed at different schools? And if so, are these schools equipped to handle such children? Two, I don't blame the Barbados Party for doing what they did to the late Barbados. I put all the blame on the all Democratic Labour Party people, prime ministers, ministers, all of them. One thing was said by the Barbados Labour Party, they honored their own, not that town court. That house should never have been allowed to be in the state that it's in. That easily could have been refurbished and turned into a museum. Not only for our bar, but for ministers after him. Three, the sanitizing of buses. I heard a news that strapped earlier this morning saying that the city service bus was not sanitized. The sanitizing of buses, the way it's structured now, is a waste of time. Yes, the buses get sanitized at the various terminals. Now, you must remember, these buses does not operate on a non-stop basis. It's a set down and pick up. What happens when the passenger disembarks or someone gets up from that seat and someone else sits down in the seat? Are there any people to sanitize the buses when people vacate the seat? No. So that's another way of this virus spreading, and mm-hmm. it will continue to spread.
May I ask how, and I'm not meaning, you know, cheeky or anything, when you get on a bus, because obviously, you know, people on and off the bus, and it may not be easy to do. But you take the bus. I know you do. So when you get on a bus and you sit down in that seat, what do you do? Do you touch the seat? Do you play with your face? I'm asking you because I know you are a commuter.
Let me tell you from my end.
Mm-hmm.
Long before this pandemic started, I always walk with a bottle of alcohol and a little spray bottle. Always. Long before it.
Right.
Since the pandemic has started, I have not sat down in a bus. None. As I disembark, I sanitize my hands.
Wait. Let me see if I understand you. You didn't catch a bus since the pandemic started?
I have caught the bus.
You have? Okay.
I have not sat in any of them.
Okay. So when you catch a bus, you have to hold on to something, right?
Yeah, hold on to the rail. As I told you, that's not like December. The first thing I did is to take out my small bottle of alcohol.
Right.
And sanitize my hand.
Okay, but I'm asking, is it that there's a available seat that you choose to stand?
I don't sit down. The bus could be empty.
But understand what I'm saying. I'm sitting in a chair right now at Starcom Network that Cashy Brown just got out of the chair. We sanitized the area with the microphone and so on in the desk. I'm sitting here, I have my clothes on. Don't you think it'd be a little bit more risky holding on to things as opposed to finding a seat and put your hands in your lap?
It is not going to be risky to me and Starcom, me.
Mm-hmm.
When I hold on to the handrail, as I get out, I take up my brown bottle.
Okay. No, I'm asking you, and you sit down, when you get off, if you can't take your brown bottle out too, as well.
I ain't taking that chance. I'm sitting down. I have never sat down since the start, and I will never sit down.
All right. Well, I understand your concerns and fears, but I don't know if there's any evidence based on the clothing and the seats to that extent. But again, you know, of course, you want to exercise caution, but I'm saying to you that if you're holding onto rails with your hands, the chances of sitting down and putting your hands in your lap, even though you need to sanitize, are a little lower. Your risk may become a little higher holding on to things that you frequently touch, but everybody then touching if they're standing. So I'm just saying that you may want to consider, if you get a seat, get one and still sanitize.
John, let me tell you this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when we go grocery shopping, when you get home, I sanitize everything.
Okay.
Even the money, I sanitize, because that's another area that people have not been talking about, you know, the handling of money.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody handles money. I don't want to panic nobody, but I am taking every precaution there is.
And rightfully so. And I think that is fantastic. And I urge all Barbadians, like you said, you make sure you sanitize, to walk with your hand sanitizer like Mr. P. And I mean that in a serious way, because we all are in this together. And even though that sounds like a cliche, it is true. We cannot get through this with one half of the country doing something and the other half doing something else. Thank you so much for your contribution, as always.